Maeve Maddox is fascinated by language. She's taught English and for years has shared her knowledge and answered questions about the English language online. She's written a new book, Word Rage: How to Stop Worrying and Learn to Love Your Language. As you might expect, there are all kinds of guides for proper word usage in the book, but Maeve Maddox is not an inflexible linguist. Her first chapter includes headings like colloquial does not equal ignorant and why so much anger over usage. The word rage in her book's title doesn't really refer to her, but to the people she's communicated with over the years who are incredibly angered about certain words and word usage.
For several years, I wrote for a grammar site called Daily Writing Tips, and most of the people who wrote in to me were very nice and reasonable people. Some of them, though, get very angry about usage. They would get, really use bad language sometimes.
Not grammatically incorrect language, salty, just, profane language.
If somebody would say, for example, I could care less, oh, that really brought them on. Or if they spelled judgment with an E or without an E, depending on their preference. Or if they said anhistoric instead of ahistoric. And they would get very, very angry. So that's why I call it word rage, because I tried to put in articles about usage that stirs feelings, which may or may not be incorrect.
You mentioned what I could care less. Which, of course, you're actually saying, oh, I care somewhat about something. And what people usually almost always mean is that they couldn't care less.
Yeah. That expression, the could care less, has been in the language for at least 50 years. I've seen it in the old movies in the 30s and the 40s. And it's a kind of a regional thing. And the argument always is that it's not logical. If you could care less, that means you could still care a little. And one of those Monty Python guys, that tall, thin one, which one is he?
John Cleese.
He has a very, very funny take on could care less and couldn't care less. And it's funny. But when people say I could care less, they don't mean they could care a little. They're not chopping logic. They mean they don't care.
And so when I hear someone say I could care less, if I know what they mean, probably I shouldn't let my blood pressure get the better of me.
Right.
What about the word disrespect? You used to not like it so much, and now you say, you've grown okay
yes.
with it.
Well, there's no reason not to. I mean, I think a lot of the objection to disrespect was that it seemed to come from the Black community of speakers, and people resisted it for that. In fact, I had comments from people who saying, that's just ghetto talk. But it's in the Oxford English Dictionary way back. And if you can say dishonor, you can say disrespect, seems to me.
You mentioned it. Sometimes our views, the big we, our views on language can be colored by things that are not necessarily grammar rules, right?
Oh, yes, definitely. It's an emotional thing, and it's, I don't know, maybe it's a tribal thing. I don't know. Because language is the most personal thing that we use. It's very much a part of our identity. And when you tell someone that what they're saying is incorrect or bad, it's bound to raise their blood pressure. But my contention is that everybody owns the language. Language belongs to the people who speak it. But in a world where there's so many different dialects, it's important that everybody know a standard dialect as well as the home dialect. Not that it's better than theirs, but it's just more useful socially and economically.
And just for understanding.
Yes.
What about the word ma'am?
I like ma'am.
But not everybody does.
Again, it's a regional thing. Because there's one article I mentioned, this woman, she wrote an article about ma'am and how horrible it is and that everybody should stop using it. But I believe she was from somewhere on the East Coast. And in Arkansas, where I grew up, you said yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir. It's a matter of respect.
Some people don't want to be called ma'am or sir because they think that assigns, I don't know, an age to them that they don't want have assigned.
Well, I think they should think about the I think it's terrible that people will attack complete strangers and tell them they're saying something wrong. I think parents should correct their children. Maybe employers should have guidelines. But one adult correcting another adult who has not asked to be corrected, I think they're just rude and insufferable.
Let me be a counter argument to that. What if you hear me use a word incorrectly and you think, well, maybe a gentle guidance here will help him not say it incorrectly at other times when it might be embarrassing or...
Yeah, I think there's a place for that. I think people who speak or write in public are a different kettle of fish.
Well...
I mean, I'm not going to correct my neighbor, but if I hear you say something, I'm not going to call in and want to be broadcast correcting you, but I might send you a note.
Gotcha. You use the term in the book. I'm talking with Maeve Maddox, who has written Word Rage, How to Stop Worrying and Learn to Love Your Language. You use this term, language bigot.
Mm-hmm.
What is a language bigot?
A language bigot is, I don't like the term grammar Nazi, mm-hmm. and a lot of people use that. Mm-hmm. Because to me, Nazi is one of the ugliest, most horrible words in the world.
It should be assigned to one.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's really evil stuff. Language bigots are more like bullies. They say it's my way, and that's the only right way. And they would just want to get everybody else to say it their way. So that's what I mean by a bigot. And very often, these language bigots don't know very much about the history of the language.
They know perhaps the rules, but not the culture?
Well, yeah, just the history of it. And it's another odd thing. Most people know and recognize the fact that the English Chaucer spoke is very different from ours, and they accept that. But once it's in our time frame, they don't want it to change. And language is a living thing. It's going to change.
Whether we like it or not?
Yeah.
All right, then what about, female and woman. A female lizard.
Yeah.
That doesn't hurt my ears.
No.
Females tend to vote a certain way. That
yes
clangs to me.
Me too. I think again it's a put down, and I hear men say, "Well, the females don't like to watch football, so we'll let them watch the Hallmark Channel." And they very often they'll refer to themselves as the males in the family. But again, I think that's a biological term, and it doesn't belong in that context.
What about kid? You and I have a similar... No, we have a similar take on this.
Really?
Yes. And I think this was installed in me by a fourth grade teacher I had.
Kid's a goat.
That's what we'd hear. And you wouldn't... Mary Hogle despised when other teachers would call their classroom full of children kids. Mm-hmm. She hated. She thought it was demeaning. Mm-hmm. She thought it was disrespectful. She didn't like the word, and neither do you.
No. In fact, that was the first article that they published for me at that day they righted tipped. But it's a losing battle, Kyle. And that's why I put it in the section about the changing language. And one reason, I think, is that English is a Germanic language, and German for child is kind. Mm-hmm. So kid is awfully close. And it has been in the language a long time. But I think it's disrespectful.
But so many people now
I think it can
don't
be,
mean it as a disrespectful term.
No. But I think it's got a place. You know, you're talking about your own children, you know, or you're saying kids will be kids. But if you're talking about insurance for your kids, to me that seems inappropriate.
Are you a good speller?
I think I am, yes.
Where did this...
In fact, I just wrote a little book on spelling.
Oh.
I'm in the proof stages. It's called 7 Steps to Good Spelling. I think most people think they're bad spellers when, in fact, they were never taught how to spell.
Really?
I think so. It's this whole world reading instructional program that I think keeps people from learning to be confident spellers.
Is there a particular misusage that really grates? Do you have an all-time worst?
Well, that's certainly that me and him used as a subject. That bothers me a lot. I think that the verb misusages and irregular verbs, that really bothers me because that's the sort of thing children can learn by the time they're 13. It takes some drilling. But these are common words that you see every single day and speak them and write them. So that bothers me, just basic grammar like that.
When you did the daily writing tips, how often would you write something that would be published? And would you just get emails from people with questions?
Yeah, well, the last time I was writing 7 a week, you know, and then people would comment on them. So I got an awful lot of email. I still get it because they have all my articles in the archive.
All right, so you have the spelling book that is being proofread now, mm-hmm. which should be a fast proofread, right? If it's about spelling.
Well, I've done it. I've tried to keep it. I want to do a series of the most basic grammar because a lot of adults want to refresh what they learned in school, or maybe they never learned it. But now it's important if you're writing your own advertising copy and you misspell something, and I come along and read your ad, I'm going to say, this person can't spell that word. I doubt if they're a very professional person.
And use the apostrophe correctly.
Those apostrophes. I think we should drop all the apostrophes.
No. You don't mean that.
Yes, I do.
What?
Sure. You still understand what it meant if you said my mother's house and it didn't have an apostrophe. You'd know what it meant. You know where that apostrophe came from.
No, tell me.
Well, English used to be much more complicated than it is now. It had endings like German, you know. And that was a possessive ending. Words ended with E-S.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that meant of such and such. And then that E started being dropped and an apostrophe was put in its place. That's where that came from.
So I just want to make sure I'm representing Maeve Maddox correctly here. You would advocate for the elimination of the apostrophe.
Yes.
You wouldn't be bothered by the elimination.
It wouldn't bother me.
Yes.
I doubt if it will happen, but... I'll tell you what I really hate.
Okay.
And I see it in the Washington Post this morning. I know people say, I want to go and I'm going to be here. But I hate it when newspapers spell it out as W-A-N-N-A and G-O-N-N-A. I think it makes the speaker that they're quoting sound stupid.
But especially if it's a quote, if I'm a journalist and a speaker says, we're gonna get that tax bill passed.
I think you're misrepresenting the person, because once you put that into writing, it makes them look less than educated.
Even though they said it.
Yes. And there's no way, it's considering how many different accents we all speak our English with, mm-hmm. there's no way you can write down everything the way they say it. So why pick on those?
What about, what if I say the word ain't?
I don't think people say ain't hardly anymore. No way. When I taught English, I told my students that they could use ain't only in one situation.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say he ain't or she ain't because you've got isn't for that. But where it came from is am I not?
Mm-hmm.
Ain't I? So I allowed them to say ain't I if they wished. It didn't come up very often, but it made them aware of it. But no, if you said ain't, well, I don't know. What context would it be in? I mean, you're not going to say it.
I mean, you could say it if it's a colloquial sort of conversation. Ain't that grand?
Well, yeah.
Would you quote me then?
I would. If depending on the context.
Okay.
And if I were writing a novel or a screenplay,
sure.
I would. And that's another thing that it seems so ridiculous. So many of these TV dramas have people who are supposed to be doctors, geniuses. There was that thing called Numbers where they're all mathematical geniuses.
Yes, yes.
And that one of the geniuses said, I've made reservations for so-and-so and I. Well, that's an incorrect pronoun use. And they would... And that the main one would say me and him did something. And I think that when you're creating a character for television, the educated one should sound educated.
So you may not be experiencing word rage right now, but you've got word discomfort.
Yes. Yes, I'm afraid. Well, mostly I'm accepting, but I have my pet peeves.
The name of the book is Word Rage, How to Stop Worrying and Learn to Love Your Language. Maeve Maddox, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle, for having me.
Maeve Maddox is an English teacher, online word consultant, and author. Her latest book is Word Rage, How to Stop Worrying and Learn to Love Your Language. You can find her online at American EnglishLanguage.com.